Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Those first words, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. That includes both you and me and all others. Reading from Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So far we read God's perfect word. We may not understand it perfectly, but God can give us understanding and give us what we need as this word so plainly describes it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thee giving thanks for thy word, giving thanks that we have that word when many others may not yet have heard it, and many through the ages did not know it. We give thanks, Father, that thou hast come to us with it, and we pray that when thou dost come to us with it, calling us to repentance, calling to mind our sins, that we may not remain in hardness and have an impenitent heart, refusing to repent, refusing to hear, refusing to know ourselves as sinners according to thy word, and also sinners the same as others. We pray that we might come to that in the church especially, that we might become one in the knowledge of our sin. And Father, we know that that must come first, to be humbled, if we are ever to be one truly in Christ. Help us to see that without knowing our sinfulness and the greatness of it, that we cannot have and will not have a right view either of thee, Father, or of Christ, and not of the rest of the church either. Help us to come to that oneness, one with thy word against us and others altogether, one with that word for us in the way of the gospel, that in believing it we will not perish. We ask, Father, for that blessing given by both thy word and spirit, all because of Christ in reviving the church and in awakening the world. We pray that that may take place even soon, if it could be thy will. We read by the pen of the psalmist that all the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn unto thee. And we pray that that may be true for both Jew and Gentile, as we read it here earlier in this letter, for the Jew first and then also for the Greek or the Gentile. And later here, for both of us together. Help us to see it. Then all the world are together in sin, and all the world together must hear the gospel of Christ. We give thanks for this first, and pray for the great need that we have of knowing it as we should, believing it as we should, and then, as we read, being doers of the word and not hearers only, in a way that comes short of thy glory and of our own well-being. We pray, Father, that we also may think of the temporal blessings that we have, and we give thanks for it, especially for ourselves when we have so many blessings that others do not have. And we also pray for those who have sufferings that we do not have, the many suffering in so many ways, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the different elements in nature that bring suffering, that many are under the ravages of it. And we pray also for the homes, especially the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray that many might experience healing through Christ. We pray that thou would give them faith to look to thee through Christ for that blessing. We pray, Father, also for those who will soon meet thee in death, that they might be prepared through Christ for that hour. We pray for those that are in need in government, those in other areas of life. We pray for the elderly. We pray for the schools, the policemen, the soldiers. All these, Father, need thy blessing, and we pray that it might be given through Christ. Amen. Looking at this solemn word again, last week we went back much to the first verse, that we, or they, whoever it is that judge others, all are the same. The verse ends with, do us the same things. Maybe not exactly the same in outward ways, but it is the same in not keeping God's holy ways. We're all guilty together. And certainly, the church needs to learn that. Only when the church learns that itself, ourselves, can we be teachers to the rest of the world. That comes out later in this chapter when Paul states, thou that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that teachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? So Paul is dealing with sin. Yes, we need to deal with the gospel. The gospel is the answer. But we need to know the problem. And I'm afraid that neither in the world or the church that we know the problem as we should. Do we see the terribleness of the sins that are taking place? The terribleness of the broken homes? The terribleness of the children in those homes? The terribleness of abortion. 2,000 to 3,000 every day in our country, and then thousands in other countries beside. Dying, being murdered by the thousands. Do we know it? Do we know it in the church? When Elijah knew it, he complained. When Ezra knew it, he plucked off his beard, rent his mantle. When others knew it, they did the same. They even put dust and ashes on their heads. They fell on their face before the Lord. We are remaining as we read. Knowest not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We are much like Judah in the time of Jeremiah. They went on. They thought everything was going to get even better. If there was a problem, it wouldn't last until it was too late. And here also we speak of both the present time and the time later. The day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What is that? The last part of verse 5. That fell on Jerusalem. It fell in such a way that Daniel could say later that nothing has been done in terribleness as it was on Jerusalem. The day of wrath came. The city was destroyed, burnt, walls broken down. No one could live there any longer. Day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It was spoken of first, and the people treasured up in hardness of heart. They did not want to hear Jeremiah or other prophets, and all the way through, that was true. All the early history that's recorded in the Bible, Christ summed it up and said, which of the prophets have not your fathers stoned? And they've killed those who were sent unto them. That was history, and it remains that way today. There are many dying in persecution. Many are dying in different countries. Not thankfully in our own. They have died here. And not necessarily persecution of great things like some countries. But individuals have died. And some of them were heretics, which should have been reproved and possibly disciplined if they were part of the church. But not necessarily killed as a few were. That happened in our own country. There were those who were imprisoned. There were those who were beaten. In our own country, the country that was basically established so the people who came here would have freedom. They judged others, they fled from them, and then became much the same themselves. And that's what we have to see. That's what we have to see today. What we read here, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do we know it today? The voice, I'm afraid, is weak of the church, but the word of God is there. We can read it. That's all it took for Josiah. He heard the word read, and he rent his clothes, and he said, "Great is the wrath of the Lord upon us." And it did come. Not in his day, because he humbled himself, it was waylaid. But it did come later in a terrible way that I just mentioned. Paul is here saying this long after the happenings of Israel and Judah, now speaking to the church of Rome. Sometimes we call it the New Testament church. I don't know if that's a good term or not, but it is the church after Christ's ascension, and the church that has been established by the hearing of and the believing the gospel. And this is how God inspired Paul to write to them. To the church. Yes, to the church. Peter said, if judgment must begin, it must begin at the house of the Lord. As I said last week, we don't know if Paul was speaking to all that were in the church or some. Evidently, it had more application to those who did not know this was true for themselves. And some probably did say, we are as guilty as others. And we are in the church because God showed us our guilt, even as was sung. Once I was blind, but now I see. The light of the world is Jesus. If in our natural condition, as Christ said to Nicodemus, men love darkness rather than light, and everyone that does evil hates the light. He who was the light said that. And also, at another time, John recorded how the light is in the world, and the world comprehends it not. That is the truth. The truth that is in the Word of God. The truth that we must learn in the way Christ spoke of it, saying, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Continuing can be done in two different ways. Continue to hold to what has been heard in the past that's right. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, you know the tradition from whom you've learned it, wanting Timothy to continue in what Paul had taught him. And then also Christ implied that we had to continue into the future, learning more and more of God's word. As we read this book of Romans, we can thankfully believe what's in the first part, to the church, beloved of God, called by God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's way for the church. Before it became that, it had to be humbled. And some probably have experienced that in a more full way than others, having to learn it later, and also the danger of going back. Like Paul said to the Galatians, where's the blessedness you knew? He also had to ask the question to them, amongst whom he ministered, and visited in those churches more than once, saying to them in that letter, am I become your enemy? Who tell you the truth? And here's what, that's what he was writing to the church at Rome concerning. Knowest thou not the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? And then, emphasizing it more fully, but after thy hardness, impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Sadly, we don't have preachers today like Jonathan Edwards, who were right both in doctrine and evangelism. Some hold to doctrine in our day, but I'm afraid not enough evangelism of trying to preach the gospel to every creature. And then there are those who want to preach it, bring the gospel to everyone, but do not necessarily endure sound doctrine. The doctrine was so bad in the time of Edwards that the people thought the Holy Spirit had been taken away, the Spirit of truth. And some who were not saved were afraid that the time of salvation was past, that they had been given over to such corrupt doctrine that the Spirit of truth no longer would be there and working. And Edwards preached against the lies of false doctrine, and it was blessed. And people did come to repentance, and they did come to salvation by faith alone in Christ. Works had been preached. Some thought they were experiencing blessing through that way. To have those works are good, but not if it is not in the right way from Christ. It is not to earn Christ, but it is only through Christ that we can have it. He who said, without me you can do nothing. He who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And that must be remembered. That was evidently taught to the church at Rome, by whom they ever had their beginning. But here now Paul is really bringing words for revival, of making them know in this present time the sin that may still be amongst them, and giving them warning, not only speaking of the day of wrath in verse 5, the revelation, the righteous judgment of God, and then stating how sure it will be, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every man according to his deeds. Every woman, every child. What does that mean? If we take that in this one sense, we all will be punished. The wages of sin is death. But there are two ways. One is the way of the law, and of which Paul writes later, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin. The knowledge that God could render to us judgment because of our sin. Then we will do, if we believe it rightly, like Paul said in Romans 7, and I died. I deserve it. I'm guilty. I'm on the road to hell. I'm blind. We judge ourselves. We judge ourselves guilty. As we read in chapter 3, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But then there is another way, the new and living way. And we see Christ standing in our place, or probably better described, hanging on the cross in our place, having what Paul described when he wrote to the Galatians, being made a curse for us. So it'll be one or the other. We will be guilty on the day of judgment, and God will render to us according to our deeds, and his judgment will stand, not ours. If we say not guilty, we will be proved wrong, every one. I can't see you, but by the word of God, I know all of you. In the next chapter, we will read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read that Christ died for the ungodly. We read that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That includes all of us. All of us, I repeat, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have been created for the glory of God. We have been created to obey, to love our neighbor as well as God, to love our neighbor as ourself. And we've all fallen short. And if we judge ourselves, Paul writes to the Corinthians, we will not be judged. We judge ourselves by the word of God. I'm guilty. I need someone else to take my place, or I will be punished eternally. We will all then know the day of wrath and revelation, the righteous judgment of God. God who will render to every man according to his deeds. And thankfully, there's a way of repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, admitting I'm guilty with the rest. I am guilty like the rest. And sometimes the measurement is different than we think. We who are teaching others, as we read in the latter part of the chapter, might think we're better. And in some ways, in outward ways, we may have washed the cup in a better way than some other people. But will that render us righteous? Will that make us less guilty? If we have more knowledge, and even such that we can teach others, what do we read in Scripture? Those that have received much must bring forth much. Those that have received much will be beaten with many stripes. And those that have received little will be beaten with few stripes. Those that may be more guilty than us, who are in more ignorance, will possibly be punished less than we who have received so much from God. I read of the early church in New England. The religion of the New Englanders were a large part of their thoughts and influenced every department of their life. In doctrine, the Puritan church was Calvinistic. In spirit, it was characterized by depth of conviction and bitter intolerance. Freedom of thought and religion was rewarded with stripes, imprisonment, or banishment. That's the picture given in a history book of our country. One portion describes, the head of the paragraph is religion. They had much, but were intolerant. And those that were not like them were given stripes, imprisonment, or had to leave the area. Much like the Pharisees. Yes, there were good things amongst our earlier settlers. Often it didn't last from one generation to the next. And where are we today? Where is the salt? Christ said salt is good if it didn't lose its savor. Salt is good in many places, but what about in a wound? If we have a self-righteous spirit toward those who are wounded in sin, it's no wonder they look at us in anger. No wonder they say, you think you're better. That's the wrong kind of salt. There's no good salt by the law, only by the Spirit of Christ. We need, again, to be humbled together and then lifted up together. Both are needed so desperately today. Let's pray to God for it.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.